basic principle of improv is saying yes and. So it's not just saying yes. So it's not about saying yes to everything. Of course, we also have boundaries. It's not about people pleasing. It's about being open. It's more, as you say, it's a mindset than actually just randomly saying yes to everything. And that's something we could do and that anyone can do. You could do it in team meetings. It's great to find new ideas. And it's fun.
Welcome back to Unsaid at Work. And I'm your host, Catherine Stagg-Macy. I'm an executive and team coach, and I'm interested in the conversations that we do not have at work. And so how do we get better at embracing uncertainty? One of the tools that's really helped me over the years is something called improv. If you remember the TV show Whose Line Is It Anyway, that was all about performance-based improv. But the essence of improv can be applied to leadership too. And my first experience of improv was actually in a leadership training program more than 10 years ago now that spanned pretty much the whole year. And repeatedly, every time we came together for a week in Spain, they'd put us through these improv exercises, which is all about responding in the moment to what was thrown at you. There was no ways to prepare. There was no ways to get it right. You just had to be fully present and kind of tune into what you had available and work with that. It absolutely terrified me. This is someone whose whole life and identity has been around being the good girl, about getting it right, about coloring in between the lines. Like, how do you get an A star in improv? I mean, the answer is you don't. So that aspect of the experience on that program gave many gifts, but really challenged my ideas of my in-the-moment abilities and what I was capable of doing and how I could be with uncertainty. It gave me huge confidence in my own abilities. And so I now incorporate some simple improv exercises regularly into team coachings. And the positive shift in conversation is astonishing. And it's the same shift that I experienced, like that sense of, oh, we can trust each other. We can be present with each other in this moment, which is exactly why I brought on the best improv expert that I know, Sumi Tan. So Sumi is just more than a guest. She's a treasure trove of wisdom with great expertise in coaching and in improv. And she believes that the key to building resilience, which we all want, in improving performance and living more purposely is improv. So if you want any of that, then you're in the right place listening to the right episode. She regularly performs in improvised musicals, The Mind Gets Blown. She runs improv courses for coaches and uses improv as a tool in her public speaking and leadership development courses. We get into a conversation about what improv is and how do we apply it to our lives as leaders. And we also play one of the improv games that I use regularly. It's so simple, you could start using this later today. So let's begin. So Sumi, welcome to Unsaid at Work.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about improv. And just let's start with your journey into improv. What got you to improv?
I used to be a planner. I used to work as a project manager and I planned everything, like every single thing in my life. And so improv for me didn't sound like something I really wanted to do, because why would I make up stuff in the moment if I could plan it and just be sure that I knew what I was doing? And then one day I was having lunch with a friend and she said she signed up for an improv course. So obviously my immediate reaction was, good for you. There's no way I'm ever going to do that. And I got curious because, well, you probably know this, as coaches, we get curious about stuff. And I was like, well, this is interesting. So I signed up for the course.
The same course as your friend?
Yes.
Yeah.
After being very clear that I was never, ever going to do that. And I loved it. There's a freedom I find in improvising.
It's something where you can't get it wrong.
Yeah.
Whereas you can get a project plan wrong, right?
Yes.
You can plan
absolutely
it badly.
Get a plan.
So it's freedom. Tell us more about what you do with improv now, because that started off as sort of personal exploration, but now it's part of your work and your offering.
Yeah, so I see improv as a life skill, as a leadership skill, and it's an art as well. So I do two things. I'm still an improviser. I improvise musicals with a brilliant group of people. So to me, that is the art part of it. It's fun and it's great and it's crazy. And I recommend everyone gives it a go at some point, maybe not musicals, but just improv. But also it's a life skill and it's a leadership skill. So what I do is I take improv principles and improv games, and I take them in my leadership coaching. I do a lot of public speaking coaching as well. And it's great to learn to speak when people ask you questions. It's about managing your nerves, being yourself, being confident, basically being a good leader.
Mm. And being really in your body as well, because there's no, I mean, my experience of improv, it's very, there isn't a right and wrong. So where do you find the source for being part of that exercise? My first experience was on a leadership program that I know you've done as well. My first memory of it was being asked to stand in front of a group of like 25 people with three or four others and pretend you're a vegetable in the supermarket in the last 10 minutes before closing and that you want to get sold. So there I was being an aubergine in front of 25 people making a case for why I should be the vegetable that was bought and sitting down in like complete giggles going, oh my God, that was the most fun I've had in a long time.
Yeah, I remember that exercise and I didn't like it at all because I'm not a vegetable. And this was a very good example of why I didn't like improv and my resistance. And I'm not a vegetable. Don't be ridiculous. And also,
yeah,
you didn't tell me it was going to be a vegetable. And that is such a big shift, was such a big shift for me doing improv and going, okay, maybe I'm not a vegetable, but in this moment I am. And that is the core of improv for me.
So tell us about the principles, because you referred to there are some core principles to improv.
Yeah, I think it also depends a little bit on who you ask, how many there are.
Okay.
So I would say one of the core principles of improv is be present. Be present in the moment. Be present with your partner, your scene partner, if you're playing a scene. And that can be applied to life. But to leadership, be present with your team, listen to them and make them look good. Basic principle of improv is saying yes. And I know a lot of people go, yes, but. So I like your idea, but I would do something else. And in improv, we would go, I like your idea and I'm going to build on it. And that's how you create good stories and good scenes. And I think really effective teams as well. It works in that way as well.
So there's making someone look good. Is a core principle, and being present is the other core principle. I mean, it just sounds like leadership 101, doesn't it, when you break it down like this? Is there a third one?
Well, there's one that I really like is celebrate your failures or your mistakes. Because also in improv, there are no mistakes. There might be unexpected results. I experience this every show I do. I'll walk on stage and someone will say something and it's not what I was expecting. And so it's about responding in the moment and going, actually, that was not what I was expecting. And we'll use it. I'll take it as an offer. Another improv principle, everything is an offer. And you can create something from it.
There's so much freedom in that. I just noticed that as you talk. Like, it feels like you and I came from similar backgrounds of training around constraints, you know, right and wrong being very polar and black and white. Being in control is valued and valuable. And improv is really challenging all of that.
Yeah, because you can't really be in control when you're improvising. And again, I feel that is the core of it. It's at the heart of improvising. There is no control. You have to give up control and trust that whatever life or your scene partner, whoever throws at you, you'll create something from it.
How did the project manager who clearly loved control just flip into this world of being okay with not being in control? Was it just a flipping a switch, or did you...
No,
have to sort of do some inner coaching on yourself to embrace it.
I think for me, it's a lifelong learning thing. I'm still learning. There are still moments where I find it really difficult to give up control.
Mm.
And I think it's just doing it. It's just practicing it.
And this practice, we can underestimate the practices that leaders can have that are outside of leadership that really help them show up as a leader. For me, a lot of asomatic practice is something I'm always encouraging my clients to have. Just anything that has you in the body, like five rhythms or, you know, ecstatic dance or contact improv or yoga or something like that. This feels like another one of those practices that you have that's not for the sake of being a leader, but just helps you show up as a leader in all areas of your life.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of knowing that we have and that we maybe emphasize. It's important that you know stuff. But there's also the doing. It's the practice. It's the... So I know I can say yes to people in my team and I know I can make them look good. And I know that as a leader, it is my responsibility to bring out the best in people, but it's hard to do it.
And even after a lot of practice, you might still fail. And that's okay. It's another thing that I've learned from improv. I feel I take more risks now because I know I will fail sometimes. I still make mistakes, and that's okay because I can learn.
And there's a confidence in coming back from that failure that improv has taught me. You know, so if you pass a bad line to your partner in improv and they kind of do something magical with it, you're like, wow, that came out of, you know, quotes, a bad pass. You know, to reframe this idea of like what's good and what's bad, what can I recover from? If they can recover from that, I can recover from that. And there's a confidence, I think, in knowing how wide your range is from that.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying about reframing it. Because, yeah, you're right. Who says what's right and what's wrong? Maybe I think I said the wrong thing and then my scene partner thinks it's exactly what we needed to build the story.
How do you use this with coaches? I know you have a program in training coaches to how to use improv. Is that about leading, you know, leadership as a coach?
It's, well, my program for coaches is specifically for certified coaches, but it's all stuff that you can apply to leadership and to life. I'm going to say this over and over again. Improv really is a life skill and a leadership skill and a coaching skill, because as a coach, when you meet a new client, you don't really know what their topic is going to be. You probably know they found you because you do something that they like. You never know what they're going to bring to a session. So it's like improvising. Someone will throw something at you, in this case, a coaching topic, and then you just have to go with it and play. And I also find that with coaches, especially newer coaches, and I was the same when I just certified, there's so many things that you learn and you want to get it right. And so you stick to the rules and you're in your head a lot. And what improv does is take you out of your head and just play and just see what happens. And sometimes it doesn't work, and that's okay. Then you just move on.
I like that. It's a skill I often drop into team coaching, especially when I see teams having unhelpful ways of talking about something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually, there's lots of yes, but. So the conversation becomes very constrained. And after a while, some people just like check out. It's like, well, what's the point? Because I just get whatever I say just gets shut down by that. And then I do the yes and exercise, which we will say a bit more of just now, but the idea of building on other people's stuff, and it just expands the conversation. I mean, the room is all giggles and laughter and silliness because they're like, they have no idea where is this going and why, and they start applying that afterwards in other conversations when I'm not around, and they say consistently there's a creativity, there's a permission, there's a trust in each other that comes from that. And that's just one, I mean, that's one exercise that I use consistently because it's the one I favor. Like there's a bazillion exercises, right? What have you seen as a result of people using it in the, you know, as an outcome of people using improv?
It is exactly what you say. There's trust, there's a creativity, there's permission. It's giving yourself permission, giving other people permission to just go and try and say stuff. And I feel I want to emphasize that improvising does not mean you can just say anything and someone else will make it right. I mean, it still helps that you know your stuff, especially in leadership. I mean, on stage, there's a lot that you can do. But in leadership, you're not a good leader just because you can improvise. You still need to know what you're doing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, let's differentiate between winging it and improvisation.
Yes, because I feel that you can be a good improviser once you've prepared and you know your stuff. So improv is on stage. I know that it looks like you get a suggestion from the audience and you just create a story. And it kind of is that, but there's a lot of training there. Just like in leadership, I think improvising is a fantastic leadership skill. But as you say, it's not the same as winging it. So you do need the experience and the knowledge. Generally, just be a good person.
Yeah, that's a really good differentiator, because I come from consulting, which, and we're known for joking about winging it. You know, you come off an engagement and all about a certain subject matter expertise, and then you get sold into another engagement, which is not your area of expertise. And there is a degree of winging it because you don't know what you're doing, but you're drawing on some other experience, and that's not what we're seeing here. It's almost like improv is a way of being that you layer on top of the knowledge and the doing that you have as a leader.
Yeah, that's a brilliant way of describing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's on top of, it's not instead of knowing what you're...
Instead of, this is not getting you out of doing your homework or preparing for the team meeting or the conversation or anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of the things that I teach people. And I think that's one of the things that I enjoy the most. So when I do public speaking, coaching or training, I always say you need to be very clear on your key message, very clear on the points you want to make. And then you let go of the script and you improvise. Maybe you don't completely let go of it, but prepare. And then you can go, let go and improvise.
Let's talk about some of your favorite exercises. Maybe we can do one of those. You know, for this level, people are new to this. Like, let's talk about some of the favorite exercises for us at this level.
I have loads, so I don't think we have time for all of them. and to be fair, some work better in person, and some work better when you can see people as well. And where that we're recording audio at the moment. And you mentioned the yes and exercise. Basic principle of improv is saying yes and. So it's not just saying yes. So it's not about saying yes to everything. Of course, we also have boundaries. It's not about people pleasing. But it's about being open. It's more, as you say, it's a mindset than actually just randomly saying yes to everything. And that's something we could do and that anyone can do. You could do it in team meetings. It's great to find new ideas. And it's fun.
It is. It is a fun lot of fun. So we've planned to do this ourselves as a to give people an example, because I think it's worthwhile doing. I mean, it's a mindset, like you said, it's one of the basic principles of improv. But to do it in a silly extreme case is quite liberating too. To then come back and apply it to the work. So let's do it in a fun example way. How would you do? Lead us into setting this up so you and I can just play this briefly.
Okay. Well, it's really just you say something and I have to say yes, and then I finish the sentence and then you respond by saying yes. And in true improv style, we haven't come up with a topic for this exercise. So we'll have to come up with something now.
How about you and I have a conversation about creating a podcast together?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So do you want to create a podcast with me?
Yes, I'd love to create a podcast with you because I think it would be, I think it would be fun, and we could invite guests from theatre to teach us about life and leadership.
Yes, and when we invite guests from the theatre, we could play theatre-related games.
And that could, so an offshoot of the podcast then could be like retreats, because some of this is done better in person. So the podcast could have like a separate product around practicing this in person in a theatre.
Yes. And that links back to what we were saying earlier about practicing, and we could turn this into a regular thing and people could come back and practice with us.
Yes. And I'm noticing this is what I often do. I want to kind of go outrageous. Yes, and we could, what could we do? We could introduce an exercise in each episode. It could be a theme for each episode. It could be an exercise.
Yes, and we could ask people that listen to the podcast for suggestions for exercises or themes.
And we could ask listeners to the podcast to say, what's your biggest leadership dilemma? And then you and I kind of do a agony aunt version of how would we apply sort of the theatre improv exercises to solve that.
Yes, and we could make it interactive and do online sessions where people can join and play those exercises with us.
We could.
I can totally see this, Catherine. We should do this. See how cool this is? You just...
I was going to say, yeah, we'll put a full stop here just so listeners know where we are in this conversation, in the game. Yeah, it always surprises me at just how pushes the innovation boundary and the permission to go through the silliness part, or the like, well, that's never going to happen, to the like, oh, wow, that's possible part.
Yeah, and I think in teams, what's good about this is that if you give yourself that permission to just go crazy, that you probably end up with things that you don't end up actually doing, but you do push the boundaries on what's possible, and you might find more options than you would have done if you'd gone for but budget, time, people, you know.
Yeah, we start with, I mean, you and I as previous project managers would know this well. What's people, budget, and time constraints, the three, the triangle and the project management. Like, you'd start with those constraints and then try and make the project work or the idea work.
Yeah, so you already start with everything that is not possible, which is just very limiting. Yeah. It doesn't really work. Give yourself permission to dream big, to think big, and then go back to actually what do we have the budget and the time and the people for.
The versions of this that I do with teams is to have them plan a offsite on the moon, and that's the starting point. And you can just see them, like senior people rolling their eyes in their head going, oh my God, this is ridiculous.
Great.
At the end, they're like, oh, maybe there's something in this. And so, yeah, I mean, no one's going to go to the moon, but the point is that they have some interesting ideas. Out of that comes out interesting ideas for offsites or fun play. I think there's something about the fun and playfulness though, that we lose in corporate settings, that improv exercises, or just the principles rather, invite back in.
Yeah, and I think also there's something about making it bigger and going to the moon for an offsite. Or another thing that I sometimes use, again, mostly in public speaking coaching, is I get people to sell me a pen or something else, you know, very like an everyday object. And they all think it's weird and it's over the top. But that's exactly what I want them to do, to stretch yourself. Because you're never going to present that way. You're not going to go, I have this brilliant project plan and it's the best ever and you all want it. But if you can do that with a pen or something else.
Or an aubergine.
Or an aubergine, exactly. You can then channel that enthusiasm as well when you sell your project plan or whatever it is you're presenting.
I was part of teacher training program for Fire Rhythms in Switzerland and back in September last year. And part of the training to be a teacher in the front of the room for the sort of movement practice is teaching leadership skills in their own way. And so they had you stand up in front of a group of 15 or so people. And as you stood up, you would be given a topic to talk about, which is related to Fire Rhythms. And I could see people getting massively triggered in that, massively, like overthinking and then having to stop and look at this little piece of paper with the question on it. And I had to reflect on why was it that didn't bother me. And I think I really attribute it to this sort of work around, I know, almost like I have the sense of sort of feeling into my belly going, I'm going to speak from my belly. And I think that's what improv gives you. I'm not practicing what I'm saying as I take my 10 steps to the front there either. It's like I have no idea until I face the crowd and I feel into what it is I want to say. You're nodding your head as I talk.
Yeah, I think it's very much an in the moment thing and getting out of your head. And especially in improv, when you're an improviser on stage, there is no time to think because the audience is not going to sit there and wait for you to come up with something really clever to say. So you have to just go, I'm saying whatever comes into my head or my heart or whatever you want to connect to, and just go with it. And it may not be brilliant, and that is okay.
I think we've made the case for people trying out a bit of improv exercises. What do you think?
I hope so.
Have we done our job? I think so. So what would you like? I mean, if someone's interested in this conversation and wanting to incorporate this in their work, how would you suggest that they do that, aside from taking an improv course?
Yeah, I think taking an improv course is a big step. I know a lot of improv companies also offer workshops, so you might want to look for that if you want to give it a go. Just do a one-off workshop, because that's probably scary enough if this is all new to you. Try the yes and exercise, or if you don't want to use it the way that we just did, see if you can do it as a mindset. So next time you walk into your team meeting, for example, just go in with an intention of maybe not saying yes to everything, because you don't have to agree with everything, but seeing the good thing, the thing that you like in whatever someone says, which is also a yes and thing, and then build on other people and listen. We're all always very quick, I think, in saying what we don't like about things.
And I think another way of framing the yes and that might sit better with some people is what I like about that idea.
Yeah, because there's always something that you like.
Exactly. What can you find right in what you're hearing? So I like that. You can go full on and go, you know, like see me and go sign up to improv and change your life that way. Or you can try the exercise, or you can just use those words, or you can just use it as a mindset.
Yeah, and I think if you do go all in and you take the improv courses, you'll change your mindset as well, but you don't have to do that. It's just saying to yourself, right, next meeting I go into, next time I speak to someone, I'm going to find the thing that I like, whatever someone says.
Well, thank you for your time and bringing in your inspiration for the work and the passion for the work. I'm going to put in where people can find you, your website, LinkedIn. If they want to get in touch with you, they can find you that way. Any final words for us?
I just want to thank you for having me, of course, but also for making improv part of your podcast, because yes, it is part of my job. And yes, of course, I want to build my business, so to say. So it's always good to talk about it and get the visibility. But for me, it's so much more about believing that improv really is the answer to almost everything. So it's spreading the word, spreading the joy, spreading the love. So thank you for creating that space to talk about improv.
You're very welcome. Well, I like that. Yeah, improv is a life skill.
Well, life and leadership skill, I would say. Yes, absolutely.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I do feel like I am the luckiest person alive to be able to play games like this, as we did with Sumi, for a living on a podcast, and that you are kind enough to be listening in. But more seriously, I hope you feel inspired to try this out. Try out the Yes And exercise, and to look up maybe an improv course even, or get in touch with Sumi and see how she can support your organization. Improv has gifted me confidence in my abilities, and I've just learned to trust myself more in uncertainty, and I hope that you get that too. And remember that, you know, improv isn't about winging it. It's about knowing your material really well, which you probably do, and knowing the context. Maybe it's a conversation you need to have, maybe it's an offsite. And then just tuning into yourself and letting go and trusting that you can adapt with what comes your way. So you got this. This is your Wing Woman signing off. Until next week.